have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Press in to his presence. Press in Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
And good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to you, 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 and you to Making Marriage Meaningful. Oh, we're so excited to be here on tonight because we might talk about love, we might talk about romance, we might talk about sex, we might talk about money, but we're going to talk about this relationship thing that we call marriage. Now, let me put this disclaimer out there. I personally am not a relationship expert. I just share things based upon my experiences over the past 20 plus, almost 30 years of relationship, you know, failed marriages, failed relationships, things that I've been through. Yeah, I'm transparent. I'm talking about it because I don't want you to go through some of the things that I went through. I want you to experience the best possible relationship possible in your life. Now, it doesn't say that I'm not looking forward to something better, but I had to work on me so that I could be better, and it's just that simple. So by talking about these things, I'm learning as well. So let me make that clear again. I am not a relationship expert. All right, so don't say, well, Apostle said do this and do that, and it's supposed to work. I didn't say that. I'm just giving you some things that if you apply it, it should help you to do better than what I've been through. Now, on the same token, I need to make this other disclaimer, okay? This talk, I need you to know it is real. Please hear me when I say it. It's real. But we're going to talk about real stuff, real issues. Going to be transparent. We're going to put it out there, point blank to it. It's raw. So you're liable to hear anything come out of our mouth because that's how we roll. Blank to it. Most of all, it's relevant. You'll be able to identify with the things that we talk about. Now, I've been blessed with a great panel of people that I don't have to talk about it by myself, although I could. It just wouldn't make sense if I'm talking to myself and then, you know, you should hear, listen to me. But what about this? What about we have to have, if you will, a different views and perspectives, you know, for vantage points. That's what we look for here. So I don't do it by myself. I got a great host of folks that will help and share if you will take time to listen. Now, out of them people, I do know that Sister G. Johnson, she has had experience and things like that in relationship, and, you know, and she has something to offer. So I believe she's here tonight. Sister G. Johnson, are you here? Tell us hello.
Praise the Lord. How is everyone tonight? I am ready for the conversation. Hallelujah. Amen.
Conversation. That's what I'm talking about. She said, I am ready for the conversation. Amen. You know, she's just one of the individuals who come and has a whole lot to offer. I've got some women here, and I got some men here also who have some information to offer. Matter of fact, I believe one of the men that is here who has a whole lot of information to offer is the one, the only, Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you here tonight, sir? I thought I would hear his voice tonight. All right. Maybe he's muted. I don't know. Maybe he hasn't gotten on yet. Well, let's try this other one. He always got something. Amen. Let's see if Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. is here. Are you here, sir? All right. So I don't hear either one of them. Don't know what happened, but to God be the glory. I do know that Brother Otis and Sister Gabriel are here tonight because they always join us. Come on, y'all, good people of God, say hello to us.
Good evening, everybody.
And good evening. This is Brother Otis Gabriel. Let's get ready to enhance the romance.
What you say, enhance the romance? That's good right there. I can preach that, enhance the romance. I like it. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Certainly, the producer of this particular podcast, amen, who is a great, great blessing to us in Jesus' name. I'm talking about the lovely Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Come on, Dr. Kimmy, say hello to us tonight.
Hello.
And Kimmy Kim is in the building.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Kimmy Kim is in the building. And we're so grateful for you and for every one of you that are here tonight. Amen. We're going to believe God for some great conversation and what God is going to talk to us about, will share with us through these voices that are here. I believe it's going to be great. I'm going to ask tonight that Sister G. Johnson would lead us in a word of prayer. I'll get the scripture, and then we'll go forward from there in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Sister G. Johnson.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for allowing us to, again on this Saturday evening for this dynamic podcast, Making Marriage Meaningful. We give you all the honor and all the praise. We magnify your name this evening because you are worthy to be praised. We are thankful for the callers that are calling in tonight. We invite couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and couples who are divorced but may be considering remarriage. We pray that the listeners will get a breakthrough out of this broadcast tonight. We pray for the panel on this podcast tonight that we may render a word that could change people's lives tonight. We cancel the assignment of the enemy that seeks to cause chaos and confusion. We rebuke the devourer tonight. Now, Jesus, have your own way. Father, we pray that we decrease as you increase through us tonight. In the matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that wonderful prayer. And we certainly honor you and appreciate you in Jesus' name. That we've been reading and dealing with out of the Message Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 down through about 13, I think it is. Yeah, that'll do. All right, so here's what it says. The serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman. Do you understand? Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it. Don't even touch it or you'll die. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything, she took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden from God. God called to the man, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard you in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid." God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?" It says, the man said, "The woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I said, yes, I ate it." God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done? The serpent seduced me," she said, "and I ate." We've been talking from this subject, conquering failure in marriage, conquering failure in marriage. Amen. Glory to God. I think that Apostle Smith is trying to get on. We're going to believe that God is going to allow him to get on in Jesus' name. In the meantime, we've been talking about conquering failure in marriage. we've been talking, and even on last week, we talked about a few things. We started talking about outside influences. As we talked about inside, outside influences, brother, we talked about developing new relationships when you get married, rekindling old relationships once you get married, and then we talked about how affairs or one-night stands come about and how important it is not to allow outside interference. That is very dangerous, and it also causes a whole lot of other issues when there is this thing of outside influences. But last week, we talked from the aspect of internal disconnect. And when we talked about that, we shared about being untrustworthy in the marriage. We talked about the lack of intimacy in the marriage. And then we talked about fault finding. Some of the things that we even dealt with was the attachment, how it is not involvement, okay? And then we also talked about the intent versus the impact, which is your opinion and your function, meaning how you say something and then how it actually comes across. So we talked about these things and how it causes internal disconnect, meaning causing a person to feel as if they're really insignificant, really inadequate, really inferior and whatnot because of what happens in marriage. We talked about how because of the outside influence, now it calls her and him to question themselves. Many times people question themselves in their marriage because certain things that we hear, certain things that come to us that doesn't come directly from our mate, it really impacts what we feel. And so now we feel that they are untrustworthy. It feels that they are untrustworthy. What do you mean, untrustworthy? Well, listen, you wouldn't tell me these things. You didn't tell me these things. I had to hear it from somebody else, make me feel like I'm insignificant. And so, therefore, there's a lack of intimacy. There's no closeness. There's no bonding because of this. What's wrong with me? Why don't you want to get close to me? Why don't you want to, you know who I am? And why don't you want to make me feel like I belong and connected and involved? These are things that are happening in marriages. That's why people are married, right? But yet they still feel some sense of loneliness. Then we talked about fault finding, how what we do in marriage, because of little things like this, what we do is we find what's wrong with someone else, but we don't look at what's wrong with ourselves. Oh, it is easy to point out what is wrong with what she did or what he didn't do or how he did it or how she didn't do it or what they said or things like that. Fault finding has become an issue so to the point that we actually question ourselves based upon what people think and say because it becomes a fault finding issue. This is where we left off last week. And I said I wanted to pick up this week. We're going a little deeper because watch this now. Here's the serpent done told this woman, hey, that you ain't going to really die. That's not what God really means. Going to say, but God knows that you're going to really know what's going on because you're going to be just like him, knowing good and evil. You're going to be just like God. Let me tell you something. God has put choices in you for you to know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is for you, what is not for you. God has put that mechanism in you. So how are you going to let somebody put something in you or make you aware of something that already existed because God put it there? God made you to be who you are when he made you. And God didn't make no mistakes. He didn't make no flaws. He knew what he was doing, and it was just that simple. A lot of people miss that part. A lot of people miss that part, and it becomes an issue. It becomes an issue. So we've had this fault-finding thing because now this woman feels like something was missing. Something was missing. Why did she feel like something was missing? Because something she hadn't heard before had now been brought to her attention. All right, so we talk about this fault finding. I think that Bishop-elect Richard has arrived. Are you here, sir?
Yes, I am. Good evening to everybody. How are you tonight?
God bless you. Welcome. So glad you could make it. And I believe that Apostle Smith was trying to get here as well. I want to know, did he arrive yet, Apostle Smith?
Yabba dabba too, and she's a liar too. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know what? The gang is all here. The gang is all here.
But, okay, so I know that y'all have been listening, and there are things that we're trying to point out, but we're dealing with this internal disconnect and this fault finding, okay, because it appears that this enemy has presented something to this woman to make her feel that she didn't have what she needed to have in her marriage. So now she's finding fault. Is it with herself? Is it with her husband? We don't know. But these are things that happen to people. Anybody want to make a comment on that?
Apostle, I'll concede to you first, sir.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why I say that, because anytime you're dealing with any relationship on either side of the fence, everybody, there are two things that always happen. Number one, you're either playing the blame game or you're playing the shame game. Now, if you're playing the game, the blame game, that means you're fault-finding, looking for the reason why what you're going through is happening to you. And everybody's at fault except you. You never look in the mirror. You're looking at everybody and everything around you, but you fail to stop in your bathroom and look into the eyes or deep into the soul of the individual with whom all this is taking place. Now, if you're playing the shame game, this is an esteem issue because of the simple fact that you are now saying to yourself, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't handsome enough. I didn't have enough money. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Really, the truth of the matter is the baggage that you're currently carrying, and if you're one of those that's going into another relationship, you never emptied that first suitcase. And what I mean by that is your past experience has never had the opportunity to be played out, to be aired out, to be dried out so you could throw it out. So now here you are back at square one all over again. It's like the game of hopscotch. If I remember correctly, in the game of hopscotch, you could jump, and when you got to your opponent's box, you had to jump over your opponent's box. And if you did not jump over that box and landed in that box with any part of your foot, you had to go back to the beginning. I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. You're either playing the blame game or the shame game. You tell me.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Brother Otis Gabriel. I have a comment on that. With the person they are blaming, and back to the scripture you read earlier about the outside interference, that is where it began. First of all, the Eve was there, and the serpent was talking to her. So I think that once a person gets married, then they should be cognizant of the fact that this person who is married should not initiate any outside interference. They should not maintain any outside interference that they were connected to prior to marriage, if that interference or that outside contact was on an intimate and romantic nature, because all of that is a person that they have been with before, and you don't have to even cross any thresholds. They have already been covered. It's just once you get together, then instantly a person would have a tendency to just move back into the behavior that is familiar because it has been familiar. But they not only don't maintain, don't entertain any outside interference, and this was the fault of Eve, the serpent, spoke to her, and so now she is going to entertain the serpent by having a conversation with him. So if we have an option. We have free will once we get married, and there are certain principles that we should adhere to maintain a good, functional, productive marriage with our mate. And as far as the outside interference, don't initiate it. Don't be out there flirting and winking, making statements to people that we shouldn't be making statements to, saying something that would be inappropriate, that would be like a test. I'm going to say this and see how you respond. If it is favorable, then I'm going to go beyond the first statement. So don't initiate it, don't maintain it, and don't entertain. Then you can have a safer path to walk in your marriage.
Okay, okay. I need to hear from some of the ladies.
Apostle?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I'm asking a question or trying to add on to what he said, but I want to ask it through you too, Brother Gabriel. What if somebody going to get mad with this, but I mean well by it. What if that serpent, in the scenario of what we're talking about, what if that serpent is the mother or father of the bride or mother or father of the groom?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy.
Now, that is something that, there's a song out about mother-in-law that is something that you have to have. Well, there is contact there because you're not going to put aside and to leave and ostracize your family. Once you get married, a person should realize that they are marrying into a family, and your spouse will still have the same type of relationship they had with the family member before they said, I do, to you. So what happens on that is when you find out that some of the relationships with certain family members is going to put a strain on your marriage, then the married couple should sit down and talk about boundaries. And these boundaries, first of all, should be the amount of contact they're going to have with the individual that has this volatile type of personality and interactions. So if you're not with them and listening to them and communicating with them that often, then that will minimize the conflict that you would have with the person. So that is the boundaries and the amount of contact with people that you're not going to get along with would do a lot to help the couple to get along to where they don't have to say, I got to now choose between my wife, my husband, and my family.
Okay. Okay. Ladies, come on. We need to hear something from you.
Okay. I'm going to jump in and say something. I don't believe you have to choose between all these people. I think that it really, the relationship is between the husband and wife. And I understand that the in-laws mean a lot and so forth, but as it says in the Bible, you leave all these people and cling to the wife. So if you're going to have to keep going over and over trying to choose what this one is going to say, that one is going to say, then you're going to have issues in your relationship. As someone said, you have to set those boundaries, and if you need help with setting those boundaries, perhaps you should seek out counsel in helping you do that. And that's just what I want to add.
Amen. All right. Dr. Kimmy?
Well, I really believe that when you both are secure, you both have an understanding of what boundaries that we should not go that will disrespect one another, and you both have that mutual agreement and respect for each other, I really believe both parties. Now, I have seen, like, some people who tend to, play the field, and the other party may not know. And so when that person gets caught, the trust is gone. And so I really believe it's like a catch 66. You must be careful what you say to people, because you do have some people in this life. They don't care if you're married or unmarried, and if they see that they like you, or if they see something that they would like from you, they will go after you. So we must continue on praying for the family, and that husband and wife union must have that foundation, which is from the Lord. It must be a core. And when that core is solid, can no confusion come in. So it all begins with how you are formulated. Now, if you are in a relationship and you guys were formed based on dishonesty, that's how that relationship would end. Now, if you form a relationship based on trust in the beginning and you both are friends, that type of relationship tends to last longer versus you versus a person entered into a marriage based on getting that guy or that woman from another boyfriend. So it just depends also how you began that relationship. I mean, even in church, I'm talking about church now. And so it's really important that you both have a standard of what type of communications that you're having, and you both understand that you are supposed to really meet each other friends, so that you both can have that confidence in knowing that, you can have that solid trust. Because Satan is trying to come to any type of leakage in a household. So if there is a leakage in that union, he's going to try it. So I really believe it's based on the foundation.
Okay. I can understand it. So we got this fault finding. Here's the next thing that I want to look at, right, in this internal disconnect. I want to talk about sexual dissatisfaction. Sexual dissatisfaction. And I want to approach it from being married, being sexually active, yet being sexually unpleased. I mean, because we have people who say, oh, well, I can teach him, I can teach her how to love me and so on. But after all of that, they're still displeased. And we know that often it is this dissatisfaction that often causes a man or a woman in marriage to seek a satisfaction elsewhere. Maybe it's because she won't do certain things or he won't do certain things. Maybe it's because of what they believe. Maybe it's because of what they were taught. Maybe it's because they don't believe it's for them. I don't know. But I do know that a lot of people deal with this internal disconnect of sexual dissatisfaction. I mean, when he touches her, she immediately, like, get off of me. When he looks at her, like, put your clothes on. Sexual dissatisfaction. Anybody want to tackle that?
Yes, I would like to comment on that. From the what you said at first about the being dissatisfied, this satisfaction comes in many forms. First of all, it comes when what has been often described as foreplay. And then the foreplay with some people only starts once they're in bed together, and it's a few moments before they want to have intercourse. And if you want to have a good relationship with a person or your spouse that's going to enjoy you 24 hours a day, and especially at that very special moment that is the most intimate moment that a couple would share together, there's going to have to be some affection and some love displayed way long before. Many times a person's saying that they are not happy with your lovemaking is because they are not happy with the individual. They have these buried and type of resentment, low-level resentment for their partner that they have been carrying around for weeks and months. And then if you've married a long time, unresolved issues that they're having with them, and they are just not happy with the person. And activity, the amount of activity does not equate to pleasure. It is what the people are doing together, what's called mutual satisfaction. And if you're going to be married, we talk about where we're going to go on vacation, what kind of house and apartment we're going to live in, what the kind of furniture to buy. You can also talk about what you're going to do that's going to be mutually satisfactory to each party when you become intimate. So that conversation is often missing. And just think about, especially with men, they say, oh, when I was single, I could really, you know, bring it on home. And say, who told you that? That's just most of the time a self-assessment. But if you're going to be married to someone, you would like for everything that you do to them and with them to be satisfactory, to be satisfying, and that includes the intimate, the height or the epitome of pleasure sharing, which is intercourse.
Okay. Anyone else?
Pastor, could I jump in there? I want to throw in a piece that probably nobody is really thinking in that area. It all depends on what you're being taught at your church, too. There are churches that actually teach that the husband and wife is only supposed to do missionary positions.
Okay.
I know you get tickled a little, but this is real. There are churches out there that teach that is the only way a married couple, especially a Christian couple, is supposed to make love. He get on top, do what he's gonna do, and when it's over, it's over. And then I told y'all some time ago about a pastor that called himself doing family teaching, and for three Sundays straight, he said oral sex should not be done between the married couple, and he brought up some scripture that I ain't found yet. But he brought up some scripture, and a husband and wife that have been married for 15 years, giving each other oral pleasure. The man said he got ready. He told this himself. He said, I got ready to go to my wife and give her what I have been giving her for 15 years. Said she took her hands and covered up her privacy. He said, what's this all about?
Well, you know, pastor said, he said, wait a minute, we've been married 15 years,
ministering to each other in this way sexually. Now pastor says something, and all of a sudden it's taboo? Do you know that teachers mess around and cause that couple to get a divorce?
some of what you see happen sexually is sometimes shame of coming from their family. The family always talking about, go somewhere with your clothes on, with your fat cell, with your skinny cell. It's different things that cause that reaction to happen with people.
Yes.
I'm just sitting back.
There's so much truth. Come on, Bishop.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to overtalk anybody. I'm just kind of trying to be a student of this podcast for today. But yeah, I have to agree with you, Apostle Smith, and what you just said. From a social standpoint, I agree with you, Brother Gabriel. From a spiritual standpoint, I agree with you, Apostle Whitlow. But from a social standpoint, a lot of people get wrapped, tied, and tangled in status. What do I look like? Or how do I come across when I'm in the public eye? And couples have to understand that when you get to that area, when you're going into the secret place, into the tryst, into that area where it's just you and your baby, to heck with what other people think. Now, if the scripture in Hebrews says marriage is honorable and it says the bed is undefiled, and you can go check every, and I mean every translation that there is, the word undefiled means it is without reservation. So to the preacher that's telling them missionary is all you got, well, you keep doing missionary, and when she goes to sleep in the middle of a session, don't blame me. I told you. But if you want the spice of life, you got to create some things. How about, for instance, young ladies, if you get that don't use that tape that sticks to your body because you hurt yourself. Put some balloons around you. Let him pop until he gets to the prize. How about doing a little dress up? I mean, make it a little spicy. You know, create some stuff. You've heard the saying before, sex starts in the kitchen. Well, yeah, you could say that, but sex starts more than just in the kitchen. I mean, when your desire and her desires meet in the spiritual realm, they don't connect until you come into that physical action. But it started long before you got to the kitchen. That's all. I'm going to throw my 5 cents in. I hope I got some change coming back.
You know, there's something that I want to go back to, and that is Apostle Smith talking about some of these local assemblies that teach, one, this only way of being intimate is what you call the missionary. For those who are not familiar, that is with the man who lays on top of the woman, right? And when it's over, you know, it's over. My problem is, well, first of all, if, you know, statistics teach us that big women are used to a small man and big men are used to a small woman. Now, if this is the case, you have this man who is something in the nature of 6'2 and 300 pounds, and he's married to this woman who ain't but 5 feet four, and she ain't but 128 pounds. I'm just guessing, Lord Jesus. If he's got to lay on top of her, we might as well go ahead and get ready to call the coroner's office. Because the truth be told, she's going to be flat. Let's just be truthful. If we've got to go by that. Here's the other problem. If it is being taught that oral sex is wrong, if that's being taught, then it might as well be noted that this kissing with the tongue is wrong. How is it okay to swap saliva being married, but they can't share in the exploration of each other's body? Especially when the scripture says that her body belongs to him, his body belongs to her. There ought to be...
Stop right there, please. stop right there, please. Because I asked the question in a seminar one time off of that scripture. I said, if it is true that oral sex is wrong, then does certain parts disappear once you get under the sheet?
No, I wouldn't.
I said, don't nothing on your wife disappear when you get in the bed. Don't nothing on you disappear when you get in the bed. I said, and then why would God give us the whole book of the Songs of Solomon if he didn't intend for some things to go on? How do I get that?
Listen, if this thing called oral sex is wrong, then we need to remove Song of Solomon. It's that simple. See, because what I've discovered is that people, many theologians, want to keep everything in Song of Solomon spiritual when it's not. This is a poetry writing of love and romance and sexuality. But people want to keep it super spiritual, and we need not to. The temples tasting like pomegranates and then talking about the cinnamon spice that smells like Lebanon and whatnot from the garments. Come on, that's not spiritual. And so we have these people who are believing that they're not supposed to enjoy one another through things of this magnitude. Now, here's I'm going to go this way as well. You know, we're talking about sexual dissatisfaction. I want to talk to that person who deals with that weight issue. And you want this pleasure of what you call oral sex. I want to be the one to say it in case you ain't heard it. You can't use an ordinary face cloth for your body. You need to get a hand towel. You need to soap it up real good. And you need to get them other areas that you normally miss. Okay, y'all don't have to like me. Somebody got to say it.
Just say it.
Okay?
Just say it.
You got to make sure there's no track stains. Lord help me. You got to make sure that the streets don't stink. Good God. And you got to make sure that the fruit in the ballpark is fresh as well.
Okay.
You better say
that for some that don't have no weight, too.
Well, that's true, too. But I would think that folks who don't have no weight, they just straight up need to learn how to wash. But, let me. That's a terrible thing to approach that and the scent knocks you out before you can get there. Okay, I messed up. Y'all, Lord, touch me now, Lord Jesus, because they done got nervous with me. So touch me now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Nobody to talk to me tonight.
Well, no, I'm like I said, I'm a student tonight because there might have been something I missed. I can go practice on Sister Richard. But, you know, I'm just going to listen to y'all tonight.
Lord, help me.
Okay.
Hold on, Brother Gabriel. Wait a minute. I want to address this. This watching on Facebook, whoever you are, Ruth Romans, you said too much information that we're in the flesh. No, sweetheart, we're not in the flesh. We deal with reality. Now, if this is a conversation that you're unable to deal with, you are welcome to dismiss yourself. But I told you at the beginning of this conversation, it is real, it is raw, it is relevant. Now, and it's just that simple. Amen. Please continue, Brother Gabriel.
I know Brother Gabriel's coming up, but that individual on Facebook, I didn't look at it, but I would say this to her. That's the very reason why God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You're too busy trying to be super spiritual when you need to learn that you live in two worlds. You are a spirit. You do have a body. You have a soul, mind, and intellect. And your soul, mind, and intellect have to operate here in the earth realm. If it's too much information, it just simply means that you've not graduated. You're still in kindergarten, sweetheart. Come on to college. You can't learn nothing in kindergarten that belongs to that's college material. I'm gonna shut up. I don't want to offend the young lady, but I'm just gonna say it like this: respectfully, grow up. That's all. I'm done.
Amen. Amen. Come on, Brother Gabriel. Say what you're gonna say, sir.
Okay. What I was going to say, in reference to the washcloth you were mentioning a few minutes ago. That is when your marriage is when that type of situation would be remedied even before it became a problem. Is that one thing that's highly recommended is for couples to take showers together.
Yeah.
And now, as you are showering together, and now, as you mentioned, you are refreshing the fruit and whatever else that you are going to do, even just routinely throughout the day. We don't want to, you know, to be salty and sweaty. We would like to be, if you know the type of activity that your spouse enjoys and is going to require or it always includes a lot of contact, oral contact, well, then you will be aware of that. That's another thing with the wife, someone that you already know and that you make your intimate relationships and encounters better each time. And if that's the situation, you notice the person has a job that causes the person to be sweaty, then before that intimate session, is take a nice shower together. And then you will wash off, make clear everything is clean that you're going to be enjoying, and vice versa. And it would increase the enjoyment and make both parties much more relaxed. And that would be one suggestion. And then that also comes with the communication that you would have with your spouse, because that's the person that you're going to be making love with for the rest of your life. So just talk about that. Just say, honey, before on Wednesday or Friday and Saturday, whatever days, or just before, let's take a shower together and play with that. Luther Vandross, whoever made that recommendation, but just shower together and make love together.
Teddy Pendergrass.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You know, rub me down with some hot oils, baby. Help yourself. Don't worry. I'll do the same for you. Okay. I'm sorry. Hey, Sister Richard, turn off the lights. No. Keep the lights on. I'm still working.
Lord, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you two little funny things real quick. I hope they'd be funny. I was watching a famous, that's all I'm going to say, I'm going to say no name. But I was watching one of the famous teachers one day teaching a lesson on marriage and all this. All these people in the room. So he begins to talk about giving to each other orders. And he said, I keep myself in such great shape to minister unto my wife.
I don't need to violate marriage and do nothing orally to her. God didn't make my mouth for that. And they threw the camera over on her, and she was sitting there looking like, Negro, if you had ever done that, we'd be much different couples.
All right.
He's talking to stuff like he's Mr. Dad, and she had that look on her face like, Negro, you don't even know. And, you know, but you got to be careful. You got to be careful. He's focused something else. And one of the things I would listen to that Brother Gable is that it is true. It is true. Most people don't know how to enter into the intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
True intercourse is not jumping in the bed, breathing hard, sweating until you need a towel. It's what you do all the way up to get in the bed. Your real time together starts in the morning when you get up. Did you say hi? Did you say I love you?
Yeah.
Did you say I can't wait to get back to you? All of that makes the difference when you get back that evening. Did you send a text? Did you send some flowers? Did you send some candy? Matter of fact, did you drive by the job and tell the security guard, make sure you get up to floor 7 and give this to Cynthia Brown. That's my wife. Make sure she get this envelope. And in the envelope is says, baby, I've been thinking about you all day. Can't wait till we get home. You think that don't turn. Ain't man something on. You ain't even got to get on when you take that shower. Now you're ready. And if you ain't in a hurry, ain't nothing going to hurt to put a little oil on that back and rub it down, too. Oh, let me leave y'all alone. Amen.
There's a story that Dr. Miles Monroe told, and I know some of you probably heard it. I'm not going to get into the details, but he told us, he shared something one time about one of his parishioners came to him and said, Dr. Miles, pray for my husband. He has a demon. He wants sex all the time. He wants it in the morning. He wants it in the afternoon. He wants it on the noonday, and he wants it in the teen. You got to pray for his deliverance. And the story goes on to say that Dr. Miles, after listening to the woman, said, honey, I cannot pray for your husband to be delivered because I got the same demon. That just lets you know that when you are in love with your spouse, your desire toward her, I mean, don't diminish it. Don't kill it. Don't quench it. Let it be what it is. You know, I mean, people don't understand the intimacy. Spiritually speaking, we want to be intimate with God through prayer. And spiritually speaking, we want to be as close to the Lord as we can. So why is it that naturally we want to push our spouse 50 feet away? I'm not trying to push mine 50 feet away. I've had my days of being single. And I remember the misery, not that I had to be married to relieve the misery, but I remember the days when I wanted somebody. You go to a park and you're sitting on a bench and you watch couples walk by you holding hands and being intimate and affectionate one to another, and you desire this. And anybody that sits there that has a heart and a brain that can breathe air because they got lungs and they got eyes, stop lying to yourself. Everybody would love to have it, but some of us have to be a bit more careful if we're single. But if you're married, you've got every opportunity under the sun to romance that woman. So what is the problem?
See, again, here is the thing. Let's go back to it again. Internal disconnect. A person who does not feel sexy. A person who doesn't feel attractive. A person who feels that they're a novice. They're going to have these issues. Because let's face it, there are people who are still virgins when they get married. So they've oppressed them, their feelings. They've oppressed their sexuality. There's even that one who is not a virgin, made a mistake in their early days, had sex, and they condemned themselves to never do it again. There are those, I think about the story of Dorothy Dandridge, that, you know, the first time she went on her date, her caretaker shoved her finger in between her legs to see if she had had sex with the date. So when this woman finally got married, she was afraid to have a sexual encounter with her husband, though it was legal. So therefore, she suffered from this sexual dissatisfaction because she thought something was wrong with her if she was to be penetrated. See, there are things that are taking place that are often ignored, and the worst thing that we do as people of God, just pray about it. Just pray about it.
You know you ain't praying.
We thank God for prayer. But let's be honest. Some things take a little bit more work than just a prayer. See, nobody wants to hear that part.
Can we be even more real? First of all, they ain't praying. They sound spiritual, want to think that they want you to think they're spiritual. But the truth of the matter is, as soon as you've had that conversation, walk away from them 10 seconds and then come back. I guarantee you they don't even remember what you talked about. And that's the nature of the beast for a lot of people. They become so forgetful. A lot of men have gone through great lengths to romance their wives, to draw that woman in. And you mentioned something here that makes, when you think about it, makes a lot of sense. That woman doesn't feel sexy because you've not made her feel sexy. That woman doesn't feel wanted because you did not cause her to feel like she's wanted. That woman doesn't feel desired because you don't spank her on that little hiney every now and then. Grab a hand. I'm sorry, ladies. I don't mean to be too raw with this, but I'm just going to put it out there like it ought to be, because there are a lot of young guns out there that, first of all, called a woman a female dog. First of all, she ain't got four legs. She ain't full of fur. And if she is, you better go get a Remington shaver and start working on her. The truth of the matter, they don't know how to treat a woman in this day and age. When we were coming up, and I'm saying those of us who are on this line, all of us, I'd like to say, I'm going to just go out on a limb, we were taught how to treat a lady. We were taught the basics of life, those things that would make a woman feel like a woman. Now, we've heard this already, and here we go for the 1 millionth time. Somebody can take it over when I get to a point where you're ready to ride this bus. If you give a woman a house, what's she going to do with it? Really, what's she going to do with it? And the principle is the same. Give her a house, she's going to make a home. What happens if you give her groceries? Come on, talk to me, somebody.
You wanna make a meal? What?
She's going to make a meal. All right. So let's go positive instead of negative this time, because if you give her hell, if you give her a hard time, she's going to give you hell. We know that. But if you give her that which brings her desire out of you, she's going to give you the best of herself. And when you get the best of your woman, meaning she's giving you the best that she's got, thank you, Anita Baker, I can use that right now. She's giving you the best that she's got, man, you are sitting on top of the world looking down on creation. I don't know if any of you have ever, I know you have, Brother Otis, I ain't talking to you because you up in age, man. You should be telling me some stuff. But when you have given your best to your woman, there is nothing under the sun she will not do for you. Give me a title again, internally disconnected means that you've given up. You've stopped trying. You're throwing in the towel. You want to lose this fight. That's what you're saying if you're internally disconnected. You're looking to go in another direction, and more than likely you're heading toward disaster, because God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows already what you're thinking, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up because this is Making Marriage Meaningful and not that other show that comes on Thursdays. But God is looking to cause you to unite so he can add his super to your natural and take you to the next level. But some of you dear guys out there, some of you women, I'm going to say it, you're too stupid. Yeah, I said it, too stupid to really realize what God is trying to do with the ministry of your marriage.
Mm.
I want to see, do we have any other callers on the line tonight who may be here, who may be listening to this conversation and may want to share a thought or two? We have any other callers on the line? Take yourself off of mute. Okay, I just wanted to check. I didn't want to miss that opportunity to check because I thought there might have been some others on the line. All right. Ladies, I want to hear from you. Come on, talk.
Yeah, Billy Gabriel.
Hello?
That was Billy Gabriel. Come on back, Gabe.
Well, I've just listened to him, but I was just thinking, I just want to share with this. Earlier, I would invite you, if you would, in the Song of Solomon, which is a book of almost not part of the Bible. I was referring to chapter 4, verse 16, and that goes back to an earlier part of the conversation about oral sex. Now, if you read that verse or that chapter and that whole book, the book of Song of Solomon, if you really want to know how to make love, if you just read that Song of Solomon, if I should call your attention to chapter 4, verse 16, and that's you and my is talking to my brother. If you have
come
your
back old north, and blow garden that the fragrances thereof may flow out. That's what it says.
And that's chapter 4:16.
Yeah, it talks to that. That's it.
And the Shulamite woman is telling her love what she wants. And as verse 16 says, "Awake, O north wind." As you know, we talk in metaphors and symbols and allegories. "Awake, O north wind, and come thou blow south, and blow up on my garden. Vices may flow out. Let my beloved come to the garden and eat his..."
Wait, say that word again. Say that word again and do what?
"And eat his pleasant fruit." If you have your Bible with
you. Go back. Okay. You missed the word. Go back, Brother Billy. Minister Billy, you said, "And do what? And do what? Come to my garden and do what?"
"And eat." Okay, let me start the whole thing. "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow unto my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, and let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit."
Okay.
That's chapter 4, verse 16 in the Song of Solomon. But all through this book, the Song of Solomon. If those are you, all you know, that's not about this. It's just a Shulamite woman talking to her lover.
He put some key words out there, Apostle. I heard the word eat.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop there.
This is the King James
version. I heard the word.
And I'm sure
I heard the word blow.
That's for a reason, because why would the Shulamite woman make that comment if she had no desire to bring pleasure or allow this man to bring pleasure to her? And keep in mind, she's talking to the King of Israel too, okay? So for you people who are so high up, you bishops, you apostles, you chief apostles, you archbishops and all y'all that think you way up there on the ladder, you don't run a country. You do run a congregation, but you ain't that high and mighty that you can't bring yourself down. Oh, I got to be careful how I say this. This is a PG-rated show. Bring yourself down and have lunch at the Y. I'm going to stop.
What?
There's so much in this, and the problem is that people are offended when you talk about the truth. Now, my problem is you're complaining about a marriage that's failing, and someone approaches the issues concerning that failing marriage, and we're trying to help you to conquer that failing marriage, and you have a problem because we talk about the real issue. That's because what you say, Bishop Elect, that's a person who's still in kindergarten and have not graduated to come to this college level of learning and dealing with real issues. Let me tell you something. It is not just communication that ends a marriage. It is not just financial matters that end a marriage. When we start dealing with a sexual dissatisfaction, a person decides enough is enough. I'm going to find pleasure somewhere else. If I got to buy a blow-up doll, if I got to get a dildo, a butterfly, a vibrator, or whatever you want to call it, listen, hear me. Even if you got to get a cotton picking pump for Mr. Peter to make him happy again, people don't want to talk about real things. See, that's the thing. But yet you don't want your marriage to fail. If you don't want your marriage to fail, then we got to be realistic and face the issues that are there and let him know, let her know, look, this might be what you're dealing with, but I'm not going to leave you in this condition. I'm not going to leave you in this place. I'm going to help you to get where you need to be so that we're both happy.
Apostle. Let me say
yes,
something
sir.
Right there. I am so tired and so sick of church folk, the saints, let me put it like that, acting like conversations about sex is so far out and so nasty and all this. I'm going to say it just like this. In my lifetime, some of the biggest freaks I ever met were church folks. But they covered up with spiritualism and trying to act super deep and get home, and they playing Superman, they playing the Batman and Robin, and they got whips. They got here recently, a couple of years ago, here in Connecticut, it had gone so far, they had started having sex parties in different churches.
What?
When I say sex parties now, I'm talking about toys. I ain't talking about no orgies now. But they had started, the women had started gathered up in different places buying toys in church basements and things. Don't tell me we got the wrong conversation and all that. Church folk are horny, and they need to get married because the Bible says if you are on fire, you need to get married.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk Bible, and let's get out of our own head and out of this sorry teaching. I said it. And I am an apostle. And let's get out of some of this sorry teaching that's going on in churches, because the truth of the matter, some of the pastors are not teaching real sex because they ain't gave none.
Uh-oh.
You can't teach, but you ain't done. That's right. I said it. My name is Vincent L. Smith. I live in New Haven, Connecticut. It ain't hard to find me. Call anybody you know, and I'll be saying the same thing. I want you to know that if we would start talking the truth of the word, that same scripture read by Minister Gabriel tonight, I gave that scripture to our people over 10 years ago, and when I started quoting it, they thought I was making up something. But when I opened the Bible and showed it to them, they said, hold up. We were on a belt strip, too. They said, hold up. Read that again. And then somebody said, read it one more time.
You may read it.
They said, wait a minute. They said, north wind blow.
Yeah.
My lover is going to be in my lily, and there's a fragrance, and all. They begin to catch it. They said, in the world did you find that in scripture? I said, read it.
You got it.
I said, if y'all would pick up the Bible, you would realize there's more in there than speaking in tongues and shouting and giving God praise. God expected our marriage to be fulfilling.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Exciting.
But
wonderful. Wait a minute. I got one for you, and I know somebody can make you off the line now. What in the world do y'all think God is waiting for the 1,000-year reign? Uh-oh.
Well,
he did say when he come back and pick us up, we're going to be his bride.
Amen.
All right. He wants to be intimate with his
eyes. Uh-oh. I know you don't like me. I'll give you my number in a minute. We can talk about some more. But God said the church is going to be his bride. Even God is waiting to get down. Uh-oh.
Amen.
All right.
Hey. Come on.
Hey, I think you just cleared the right side of the auditorium. They all went to pay. Make sure you get their offerings before they walk out.
How else can you provide fruit if there is no seed being sown?
Very true.
Uh-oh.
Very true.
You cannot provide.
Reverend Billy was about to say something, Apostle Whitlow.
Our basic problem is in regards to sex. Well, I just speak during my age. It was a taboo subject. We were never taught the right and wrong about it. We could not talk about it in any form. And even at that little time, we even had a label for it. Was doing the nasty. Everything was negative and ugly. Mm. And if you ever heard of anybody, since we're on that subject of oral sex, that was the worst thing in the world you could hear of. That little nasty about me. I heard he did it. I heard they do that. And backtrack on something I heard while I was listening in regards to cleaning the space like that. I don't know why the women are not saying anything, but they are much concerned about cleanliness in other areas than we are. I do believe that. They'll go to the doctor for anything in that area. We don't. But I have really have all these various perfumes and things like that that make sure they clean that area. But we just need to get rid of that negativeness that we are taught about this. And of course, they don't talk about it in their church. But and still, they don't talk about it very prominent in their churches like that, clandestinely and otherwise. As a matter of fact, think about that, and I know none of you have ever heard of any pastors losing their church because of outside sexual pleasures. None of these Christian preachers ever got caught. I heard of anybody having sex, and I'm being facetious now, but it's everywhere. But we need to have a clearer attitude, a better attitude about this. And now, if you know, in the schools now, they're having a about that you teach about them teaching kids or young adults about it. That is a negative thing, and they are fighting it. And I have reason to believe if they have a clear picture on it spiritually or otherwise, I think we have a healthier life, a healthier marriage life, and understanding that it's not something taboo.
Okay.
I want to say something. Thank you for that. Here's the other thing that I have noticed. Another reason, again, why marriages start failing is because, if we be truthful, many couples who've been married for extended periods of time no longer think it's important to be sexually active. I mean, I cannot tell you how bad it is to see some of these saints in church. And you know, watch this, you know they're not doing anything. How do you know? Because their attitude towards one another, how they fuss at each other. But there's no way you're having sex and you're fussing at each other like cats and dogs. You can't stand each other. Matter of fact, you done got to the point where you go to church in separate cars and you ain't picking up nobody for service. These are individuals. You know, you got couples who are sleeping in separate rooms. These are indications something is really wrong. And we have people who don't want to talk about it, who don't want to deal with it. Because what you say, brother, because it's been a tabooed subject, really? Come on. This is so sad within the body of Christ. It's so sad. That's why people won't praise God. That's why people don't want to hear no truth. They don't want to hear talk about love, because if you're going to talk about love, you can't talk about love without talking about the marital relationship. You can't talk about the marital relationship without talking about love. You can't talk about family without talking about love. You can't talk about sowing without talking about planting. Oh, see, nobody don't want to talk about these things. Why? Because they don't want to offend anybody. But we've got to tell the truth. We've got to help people. People are sexually dissatisfied, and it shows. When he will hug on some little, when a grown man who's in his 40s and 50s is hugging on a 17-year-old girl because she's well-developed, something is wrong. When a 55-year-old woman is rubbing her, putting her breast on a 22-year-old man, something wrong. Especially when they married. These are real issues.
Apostle, and you talk about internal disconnect. I would simply say this: when those individuals whom you just mentioned are in that. That is an internal disconnect, but they have basically disconnected themselves from the reality of life. I mean, you can't handle what you got, so you figure you're going to go grab. And no disrespect to any young lady listening, whether you're on this line or whether you're watching Facebook or you're on the radio show, whatever station you're listening. Some of these older guys go looking for chicken heads, and some of these younger girls are looking for a sugar daddy. Well, they do. They want somebody that's going to be simple in the mind and is going to do everything they say. You know, they're the kind of guys that, you know, they want to dominate you, and then they want you to go in the kitchen and make them a sandwich like they did something. I mean, you are a member of the 50 Pump Club, man. Sit your behind down. You ain't did nothing. All you did was convince some little chicken head, some little girl that was just as naive as the day is long, that you were some kind of Superman, and then you gave her a couple of dollars, and you got her believing that you're something that, you know, throw away the smoke and mirrors. It's a new day, and it's a new season. And, yeah, I'm going to expose some troops around here. My name is Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., and I approve that message.
A question.
Yes, sir.
Can you explain chicken head?
You want to explain chicken head?
Come on.
I was watching. I was reviewing the stand-up comedy of Steve Harvey the other day when he did the MegaFest piece, and he began. In that, I'm going to tell you just how off we are as Christians when it comes to sex, about how he was emceeing the celebration of gospel. Said they went to commercial and brought Yolanda Adams out, and I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen Yolanda in person.
Yeah, I saw it.
One gorgeous woman. She got to be part of the Amazon women, because she's ever been a 7-something feet tall. But I'm telling you, that's one gorgeous one. But he said they were getting her ready to come on the next set. And said where they stood her at, said there was a light behind her shining. And said it hit her dress just right. He said, and I could see a few things. He said, before I knew it, I said in the microphone, "Woo, hey, you about to show his action. She said all the things in the audience. Talking about, ooh. And so when he said it at the Mega Fest, some of the things out there talking about, ooh. He said, ooh, nothing. He said, there's a whole lot of sexy things. He said, where are all these little sexy things coming from? It's the same thing sexy. And this is what I mean tonight. This is why I keep going back to church teaching and some of the foolish things that are being said. If sex is not right to talk about, and I thank you, Minister Gabriel, because that is the truth. Sex was one of the most taboo subjects you ever want to bring up in church. I thank God for my father. He was a little different. If you brought it up, he was going to deal with it. But in most churches, they stayed away from it. And sometimes they even told you you had a demon for even speaking it in the midst of God's people.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
The Bible says, the Bible tells us in Acts that Paul made known the whole will of God. So the whole will of God includes everything concerning life and godliness. The whole will of God. So it has to deal with relationship. It has to deal with sexuality. It has to deal with your mentality. It has to deal with your finances. It has to deal with your business etiquette. It has to deal with your home etiquette. Come on. That's the whole will of God. Everything we need to know is in the Word of God, and it is senseless to ignore it when it's there for our learning. Lady G, you had something you were trying to say. What is what?
I was asking Bishop Elect about what could he explain the chicken head.
Please explain that, Bishop Elect.
In plain terms, a chicken head is a simple-minded individual who will believe any and everything that somebody said. They don't have a mind of their own. They actually need somebody to guide them in how they ought to think. And honestly speaking, every last one of us have the ability to think for ourselves. Some of us, I'm talking about the younger, our younger ladies and some of our younger men, some of us just... I don't know what it is. There's something upstairs. I think their cerebrum separated or the cerebrum or the cerebellum kind of detached from their body, and they just forgot that they had their own brain. And so they need some man to come by and tell them how they ought to think. To me, that's a chicken head.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you so much, everyone. I think there's going to be some other things to look at on next week. We are out of time tonight. We are so grateful for you joining us. Please join us next week for some more Making Marriage Meaningful at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. In the meantime, please don't talk good and walk bad. By that, I'm saying your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. You're married and you get tapped on the shoulder tonight, roll over. If you're feeling some kind of way and you ain't got nobody in your life, cold shower. That's what I'm saying. And I say, God, go with God, and he will go with you. Until next week, we say shalom, good night, God bless. And Dr. Timmy, do me a favor, drop that track.
That's what I was created for. Bye.
more than the tangible perceptions of this world. For made by the master's hand, I'm a unique design, not just to work every day for a dollar, not to dress for the approval. The image of a father and a savior, for with him I stand, with him I will remain. Oh,
I was created to worship
with my heart.
Bless your name, Jesus.